I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. We've got all kinds of things to talk about, but I want to pick up on what Matt Pauly was talking about, though, at the end of the last hour. So, Matt Pajeski, make sure you fire up your mic here. Did you get the idea when Matt Pauly was talking about his Jeep that he was, like, inviting someone to steal his Jeep? Did you get that impression?
It almost seemed like it, yeah. I would not have said how easy my car was to be broken into on the air.
I was thinking, wait, dude, do you, like, have your car over-insured so you're broadcasting?
Oh.
Hey, my car is very easy to break into. In fact, right now, it's at the corner of Market and 11th Street. It's only worth about $5,000, but I've got it insured for 20. So if you want to come and steal it, feel free. I kind of thought he was like advertising someone to steal his car.
In downtown St. Louis, though, you don't even have to advertise to come steal your car. Something's going to happen to it regardless. Okay. You don't have to broadcast it on the radio for that to happen.
Well, that's true. And as he was talking about all the people that break into his car, even when his car is easy to get into and they crashed through his window and stuff, I reminded him during the break that I said, you know, criminals are not James Bond mastermind criminals. I mean, that's why they're criminals. They're not geniuses. That's why they're out there. And so I was just laughing in the studio next door when Matt was talking about all this stuff with his car. And when he talked about getting your car stolen, I was thinking of the movie Roadhouse, where Patrick Swayze has two cars. He's got one that's just a beater car that is just designed as somebody can steal it. They can smash it. It doesn't matter. And then, of course, when you go back to the barn, you got the smoking hot roadster, back in the barn, but that's not what you drive when you're driving around. And then the other thing that occurred to me is, Matt Pauly, that's why you have insurance. You know, if your car gets stolen, that's the beauty of insurance. Brad Young in with you this evening. We've got an interview coming up in the second segment here, but the rest of the show this evening, I want to hear from you because we're going to be talking about all kinds of topics. But with this election coming up next Tuesday, what issues do you think are important? We hear what the mainstream media tells us are the important issues, but what are the issues that are important to you? And if you've heard at your service when I'm in here before, I don't like to bash personalities. I like to discuss ideas. And so what is it that's important to you? When you cast your ballot, what is on your mind? And so except for when we're in an interview this evening, I do want to hear from you throughout the show. And I'm going to go back to Matt Pajeski here, because today is National Deviled Egg Day. Do you like deviled eggs?
No, I don't.
You know, bless you, okay? I think that's one of the most disgusting food items that's ever been put on a plate. And at Thanksgiving or at Christmas at my house, somebody always brings over deviled eggs and everyone fawns over them. And I'm thinking, you know, I would have to be like Tom Hanks in Castaway before I'm going to start eating deviled eggs.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to know it's not just me.
No, they are repulsive.
They are repulsive. They're repulsive in terms of how they smell, how they taste, the feel of the item. I just don't get who eats these deviled eggs. And today, not only do people eat deviled eggs, but today there's an entire day devoted to deviled eggs. And I was horrified by that.
There needs to be Scrambled Egg Day or something to make up for this terrible day.
Something. I'm convinced that somewhere in the Geneva Convention that there's a rule that prohibits feeding deviled eggs to prisoners of war because it would violate their human rights.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got some guy in a prison and you caught him captured him on the battlefield and you say, here's all you have to eat is deviled eggs. I mean, I think that's what the Russians would give you if they captured a Ukrainian and threw him in a prison. All you can eat, comrade, is deviled eggs.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, I mean, that's torture right
there.
That's
cruel and unusual.
Cruel and unusual punishment. And if I've offended you, I apologize, but boy, I just don't get it. Also today, it's St. Louis's own Nelly, his birthday today. He's 48 years old. And there's two other, I always like to look at these national days because, like deviled egg, who invented deviled egg day? I have no idea. But these two actually fit because it's National Housewife Day, which I didn't even know you could still say that today. But it's also National Men Make Dinner Day. And can't you see, Matt, how those two days can go together?
Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
I'm seeing that. You know, that to me has symmetry. If you have National Housewife Day and National Men Make Dinner Day, that works as long as you don't make deviled eggs, okay? You don't put all three of these ideas together, because that would truly be disgusting. One thing that's also disgusting is discrimination, race-based discrimination. And yet it seems crazy to me that at the Supreme Court on Monday of this week, we're still challenging race-based discrimination. And it happens at universities all across this country and their admission policies. So we're going to talk to, coming right up after the break, he's one of my favorite guests. He's Cornell University law professor William Jacobson. He blogs daily at legalinsurrection.com. And we're going to talk to him about this Harvard affirmative action case and how this decision could impact the admissions policies at universities, not just across the country, but even right here in St. Louis. Brad Young at your service. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. You're listening to KMOX St. Louis.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And the Harvard affirmative action case, this is something that I've been following very closely here on Camo X since the initial trial was argued before years ago, actually. But now the case has been argued before the Supreme Court on Monday. And joining us to discuss the issues that were raised before the Supreme Court is Cornell University Law School professor William Jacobson. He runs a website, legalinsurrection.com. I read it every single day. It's fabulous for covering issues regarding the legal news, culture, immigration, anything that you're interested in. You can find it at legalinsurrection.com. Professor Jacobson, welcome back to KMOX.
Thanks for having me back.
Now, Professor, Harvard and also the University of North Carolina, among other universities, they use a system that gives preferential treatment to some ethnic groups while penalizing other ethnic groups. Give us just kind of a brief overview about what these universities have been doing.
Well, the universities say they take race into account as part of an overall evaluation of candidates. In the Harvard case, the statistics were particularly stark using the SATs as a measurement. Basically, an Asian student in the top 10% of all students scoring on the SAT had about the same chance of getting in as a black student who scored in the bottom 40%. So basically, to equate the two in terms of results, basically zero Asians who had the average score that black applicants had get in. And so the Asian students are the ones claiming discrimination. I mean, oddly enough, this is not like whites claiming discrimination. And Harvard doesn't really dispute it. They say they take race into account, but they have no bad intent. But the numbers are the numbers. And the issue before the Supreme Court is not the numbers, but the issue is whether Harvard and UNC can use race as part of their measurement of whether people get in. And that's really the heart of it. It violates arguably the 14th Amendment, and it also violates the 1964 Civil Rights Act, that you can't do that. And so universities were given over the years basically an exception to the law. It was the university mm-hmm. exception to the law, which is you can't do what you can do what other people cannot do as long as there is some legitimate educational value there. And the value, they say, is that a diverse student body creates a better educational mm-hmm. environment. And when they were allowed to do this, really, I mean, you could go all the way back to the late 70s with the so-called Bakke case, but really it was 2003, the Grutter case. Basically, it was a close to split decision, And I think it was Justice O'Connor who wrote the plurality decision, said, look, we don't think this is, we're not going to allow this to go on forever. Okay. And the number 25 years, we expect this to go away in 25 years.
And that was in 2003. Yeah. And that was in 2003.
Yeah, and we're getting there. I mean, we're about 5 years away from 25 years, or almost 5 years away from 25 years, and it's not going away. And what was super interesting with the oral argument is that multiple justices asked the lawyers, I think, for both universities, what's the end point of this? Mm-hmm. When do you stop doing this? And the answer was basically never, that we're going to continue to do it. And that's a problem. That's going to be a major problem, that this was supposed to essentially be somewhat remedial. It was supposed to, be temporary based on past historical wrongs. And it wasn't supposed to be a forever. The exception universities have to the anti-discrimination laws in the Constitution was not going to go on forever. And the Supreme Court made that pretty clear. And I think you've probably got six justices who are going to make it clear again whenever they rule on this case.
Absolutely. We're talking to Cornell University Law School professor William Jacobson, who blogs daily at legalinsurrection.com. Now, the system that Harvard and University of North Carolina is using to determine admission, isn't this the same system that was used to prevent too many Jewish students from attending Harvard early in the 20th century?
Yes. I mean, one thing that nobody is disputing, Harvard's not even disputing, is that in the 20s, the Harvard president ordered the admissions office to come up with this holistic model where you view the entirety of the person and their personality and other traits rather than academics. I don't know if they had the SATs back then. I assume not. But other academic measurements. And it was explicitly for the purpose of limiting the number of Jews at Harvard. And if you look at the charts of Harvard enrollment of Jews in the 20s, it goes up and up and up. They implement the holistic model. It goes down and down and down, and then it remains relatively flat forever because it's relatively flat because they're manipulating the numbers. If you look at the chart for Asians, you have to fast forward 70, 80 years later, and it's the exact same chart. It goes up and up and up.
Fascinating.
They implement the holistic model for them, and it goes down and stays steady. And if you put the two charts, and I saw somebody do this, if you put the two charts, which of course are 70, 80 years apart, but if you lay one on top of the other, they are almost identical.
Amazing.
Because the holistic model is a fraud. The holistic model is what the universities hide behind to establish quotas for their classes, which is illegal. Mm. And I think that's what the Supreme Court's going to hold.
And I agree with you on that. And it also seems to me, Professor Jacobson, that the entire notion of what is race or ethnicity is really an issue here. And I think that Justice Alito highlighted this during oral argument when he raised the issue that someone could just check a box and assert that they were in a minority group based upon family lore. And how would that advance the so-called positive aspects of race discrimination that's used in admission? So doesn't this demonstrate the lack of effectiveness? Even if the motives are pure, the methods are simply ineffective.
Right. Well, 2 points there. One, I laughed out loud when he said that because nobody has followed Elizabeth Warren more closely than I have. We actually have an entire website called ElizabethWarrenWiki.org, which documented her Native American fraud more in depth than anybody, I guarantee you. So I know her story. The second I heard on the computer as I'm doing other stuff, family lore. It's like, wait, what did he just say? And so, because I know, because she's somebody who, with no substantial basis, with no evidence, with nothing other than supposed stories, and those stories are questionable, but let's say that she did have stories, supposed stories, checked the box early in her law professor career and miraculously somehow made it from a, you know, third tier law school to Harvard Law School.
Shazam.
Oh, surprised about that. And so I knew that. And so what Alito said I forget which lawyer, I think it was the UNC lawyer, and it's that point, like, well, what qualifies somebody for this classification? Is it one grandparent? And the lawyer kind of hemmed and hawed. Well, what about one great-grandparent? And then he said, what about one great-great-grandparent? And then he says, you know where I'm going with this. And that's when he talked about the family law. Mm-hmm. And even that lawyer had to say, well, no, family law is not enough. You know, so that's the other thing. And but think how absurd the whole racial classification system we have is. What about people of mixed background? Who gets to choose?
Right.
And this whole notion that merely having people of different skin color creates diversity of viewpoint is not accurate. You have people of multiple skin colors who are all liberals, okay, and who all have to swear to the DEI religion and who all have to go through the social justice stuff to get admitted because, you know, they start something in high school or the parents start for them, you know. So this whole system is a complete fraud. They don't want diversity of viewpoint. They don't want vigorous debate on campus. For whatever their reasons, they have decided that they want to manipulate the complexion of the student body, but there's no educational benefit there, or certainly if there is one, it is not enough to justify institutionalizing racism, which is what they're doing. I mean, the left always screams about systemic racism. Well, what the universities do in admissions is systemic racism. It is institutionalized racism. And I don't think the Supreme Court's going to let it go on much longer.
Yeah, we're talking to Cornell University Law School professor William Jacobson. And again, his blog is fabulous over at legalinsurrection.com. And you raise a great point here, because as I was listening to some of the excerpts from the oral argument, one of the attorneys for University of North Carolina even said that we want the diversity. But I thought, you're not really looking for ideological diversity, because that doesn't exist on campus. And then, of course, that reminded me about your personal experience. You have personally faced the wrath of professors and administrators and students who lack ideological diversity on campus, haven't you?
That's right. I mean, Cornell University, where I teach, is really, I think, no different than most universities and most campuses. It is, you know, 99% Democrat among the faculty. The Cornell Sun student newspaper has done studies of donations from faculty. And I think it was the College Fix just did political registrations of faculty in the humanities. And do you know that there was only one professor in the humanities at Cornell University who is a registered Republican, and that something like 97%+ of faculty donations go to Democrats? So politically, there's no diversity there, and there's no ideological diversity, because when someone like me criticized factually, accurately, the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, there were attempts to get me fired and denounced and et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, this notion that the universities actually want diversity is just not true. They, for whatever, they are fixated on race. They're fixated on skin color. It's really obscene. It's really the opposite of what we should be doing. And they're hiding behind this notion of diversity of viewpoint. And I forget which of the justices, maybe multiple of the justices, said, well, what does skin color have to do with viewpoint? Okay, where's your evidence that people with different of a particular skin color have a particular viewpoint? How is that a measure of anything? And these are questions they couldn't answer. They want to discriminate because they want to discriminate. They're addicted to it, and they're not going to give it up unless the Supreme Court forces them.
Yep. And you've raised another amazing issue here. And I watched a presentation that you gave last week at Cornell University, where you asserted in part that the entire notion of treating people merely as representatives of groups instead of individuals is a bad idea, both legally and morally. Kind of briefly share that thesis with us, would you?
Yeah, well, I was invited by the Cornell Political Union, which is a student group. Let me tell you, the students are more open-minded than the faculty are and the administrators are. There's more, while the students do lean liberal, I mean, no question about that, there's more diversity of opinion among students than there is faculty and administrators. Okay, so the Cornell Political Union, which has in the past invited conservative speakers, it's kind of like the Oxford Union format. Mm-hmm. You give a presentation, they then question you, they then debate among themselves, and then they vote on the resolution that you were in support of, either up or down. So my resolution was the second half of John Roberts' famous statement that the way to stop, to end discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. That's his most famous line from a prior case. And so it was the resolution was stop discriminating on the basis of race, but really the debate came down to affirmative action. And my argument is that we have really lost our way by focusing on groups, that the way we classify people is irrational. Did you know, or I didn't know before I started looking into it, for the U.S. Census purposes, somebody from the Middle East is considered white. That's not, I mean, that's not something on a campus they'd be called a person of color, but for the census, they're called white. These classifications, these racial classifications are irrational and crazy in many ways. Mm-hmm. And what does it even mean to be non-white or white? How much skin color do you need? None of this is meaningful. View people as individuals, not as groups, because once you set up the system of competition for spots at a university or at a job where these are zero-sum games, there's only so many spots, you're setting people against each other. You're creating bitterness. You're creating anger. Because no matter how you do it, if you don't judge somebody individually on their merits, then you are setting up more conflict. And that's dangerous for society. So this whole exercise they're doing is not productive for individuals, and it's not productive for society.
And I think you and I are in agreement that once we receive the opinion on this Harvard and UNC case, these college admission practices will finally be stricken as being unjust racial discrimination.
That's right. But what they're going to do is they're going to try to figure out ways around it. Harvard's also, because of the pandemic, but they're also, I think they still have on hold SAT optional for applications. So they will start removing essentially the evidence of discrimination. The one thing, despite the denials of the Harvard admissions people, the one thing they couldn't escape is look at these statistics. And the statistics are so blatant that there was discrimination against Asian applicants that they couldn't escape it. And so what they're going to do is they're going to eliminate the ability to gather that evidence, and they'll go into an even deeper holistic model, and they will even try to shroud everything even more. Wow. So while I think it will be helpful, I think it will have a positive impact, I think these schools are so addicted to, you know, essentially quotas and to racial programming that I think they're going to try to find ways to get around it. Mm.
That is scary. Cornell University Law School Professor William Jacobson. I'm not blowing smoke here. I look at your website every day, legalinsurrection.com. Thank you so much for covering this and so many topics, and especially thanks for joining us this evening on KMO X.
Great. Take care.
Great to talk to you, sir. Hey, I do want to open the phone lines for this and other topics, but what do you think of these admission practices by universities across the country and even some universities right here in St. Louis that exclude some students based on race in order to give preferential treatment to others based on race? Is this really needed to correct past discrimination, or is it simply wrong to discriminate against anyone, even if your motives are pure? What do you think? 314-436-7900. Call or text, at your service. Hey, we'll be right back. Well, we've got lots of texting going on out there. Lots of texts coming in. Folks, this is just kind of a synopsis of some of the texts we have. White is not a race. Black is not a race. It's a human race. And that's a culmination of several texts that we have coming in. Thank you very much. Also, Mary Lynn, thank you very much for texting in about the liberal baloney. I will use the word baloney because I do understand FCC regulations. So I will use that word. But also earlier in the show, right before in the first segment, I had asked what motivates you coming up just next Tuesday night. And by the way, whether you're listening to Camo X, there's going to be fantastic coverage here on election night. Hancock and Kelly will be here. Maria Kina will have reporters at all of the major candidate parties, offices to cover the election results. I'll be over on 97.1 with Mark Reardon, and we'll be doing a very similar coverage over there. So there will be lots of ways that you can follow the election next Tuesday evening. But I asked earlier, I asked you to tell me what issues motivate you at the ballot box. And we have lots of pundits that tell us what to think, but I don't want to hear from pundits. I want to hear from you. And one person texted in about the mainstream media is so warped, they mislead people to get them all stirred up. And while that's absolutely true, and folks, that's true both on the right and on the left. That is not an ideological distinction. It's true on both sides of the political aisle. But how does that motivate you at the ballot box? I don't think that's a voting something that motivates you in terms of how you vote, because that's not going to impact the mainstream media that we know is usually primarily lock stock in one direction. But I got a list. I came up with a list of issues, and you might have others. But throughout the show tonight, if you want to share with us what issues motivate you, I would like to hear that. The economy, of course, which includes inflation, crime, immigration, abortion, climate change, gun policy, foreign policy, health care, education, COVID-19, the response of our government officials to the COVID pandemic, election integrity, the state of democracy. We heard that even this evening. President Biden gave a speech earlier today talking about the whole state of democracy is in peril as he's talking about the attacker who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband. And I've got a lot of thoughts on that, but he's raising that as an issue. China is an issue. We see that in the campaign ads right here in the St. Louis area. Russia, which includes, of course, the war in Ukraine. The culture wars. I mean, that's just a list of issues that I came up with that could be a motivating factor. You might have another motivating factor, and that's why I would like to hear from you, because we hear a lot about what the experts say, but the experts are only a few people. The public is who makes those decisions, and you are the public. And you've heard me say many times, from my perspective, that's what At Your Service means. It means that we get to dialogue together on the major issues of the day. And one of the issues we're going to cover in the next segment, because legally I find this to be a fascinating topic, and that is a trial is started this week, and the trial involves who is responsible criminally, not civilly, not like you hire a lawyer and file a lawsuit, but who is responsible criminally if someone who's in a Tesla car kills, and the car's on autopilot, runs a red light, kills another person, is there someone criminally responsible for that? And that's an actual case that's going on right now. And I'm going to break down some of those legal issues in the next segment and maybe even into the next hour if I can't get through it in the next segment. But to me, that's a fascinating topic, because you cannot hold, or can you, a piece of machinery criminally responsible. I mean, what do? You put a Tesla Roadster in prison? I mean, you can't do that. So it's different from a civil case, because you can always sue somebody and get monetary damages. But this is a criminal case. And to me, can you hold someone criminally responsible for manslaughter when they were allowing the car to drive, when the car says it's got an autopilot? And to me, that's something that we have not grappled with as our technology has improved. Lots more texts coming in. One, the economy, immigration, and shall I say, dumb Democrats. to motivate you to get out to vote red. That's true. Also, someone texted in, Biden is an old fool. Well, it's interesting that you say that because The Hill magazine, which is not Fox News, it's not the One America Network, it's a mainstream online publication, The Hill. They ran an article just today. Is it time to start seriously discussing invoking the 25th Amendment when we're talking about President Biden? And this is not throwing shade. It's not a hot take. That's a legitimate discussion that's being raised by a major media publication, given some of the foibles that we're seeing in our current president. And, of course, he's saying he's going to run for office again in 2 years. I'm telling you right now, I will bet you chicken wings at Cyberg's that there is no way that President Biden runs for re-election in 2024. No way that it happens. And we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I also have a bet of chicken wings with a good friend of mine, a liberal friend.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Well, we've got lots of texting going on out there. Lots of texts coming in. Folks, this is just kind of a synopsis of some of the texts we have. White is not a race. Black is not a race. It's a human race. And that's a culmination of several texts that we have coming in. Thank you very much. Also, Mary Lynn, thank you very much for texting in about the liberal baloney. I will use the word baloney because I do understand FCC regulations. So I will use that word. But also earlier in the show, right before in the first segment, I had asked what motivates you coming up just next Tuesday night. And by the way, whether you're listening to Camo X, there's going to be fantastic coverage here on election night. Hancock and Kelly will be here. Maria Kina will have reporters at all of the major candidate parties, offices to cover the election results. I'll be over on 97.1 with Mark Reardon, and we'll be doing a very similar coverage over there. So there will be lots of ways that you can follow the election next Tuesday evening. But I asked earlier, you to tell me what issues motivate you at the ballot box. And we have lots of pundits that tell us what to think, but I don't want to hear from pundits. I want to hear from you. And one person texted in about the mainstream media is so warped, they mislead people to get them all stirred up. And while that's absolutely true, and folks, that's true both on the right and on the left. That is not an ideological distinction. It's true on both sides of the political aisle. But how does that motivate you at the ballot box? I don't think that's a voting something that motivates you in terms of how you vote, because that's not going to impact the mainstream media that we know is usually primarily lock stock in one direction. But I got a list. I came up with a list of issues, and you might have others. But throughout the show tonight, if you want to share with us what issues motivate you, I would like to hear that. The economy, of course, which includes inflation, crime, immigration, abortion, climate change, gun policy, foreign policy, health care, education, COVID-19, the response of our government officials to the COVID pandemic, election integrity, the state of democracy. We heard that even this evening. President Biden gave a speech earlier today talking about the whole state of democracy is in peril as he's talking about the attacker who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband. And I've got a lot of thoughts on that, but he's raising that as an issue. China is an issue. We see that in the campaign ads right here in the St. Louis area. Russia, which includes, of course, the war in Ukraine. The culture wars. I mean, that's just a list of issues that I came up with that could be a motivating factor. You might have another motivating factor, and that's why I would like to hear from you, because we hear a lot about what the experts say, but the experts are only a few people. The public is who makes those decisions, and you are the public. And you've heard me say many times, from my perspective, that's what At Your Service means. It means that we get to dialogue together on the major issues of the day. And one of the issues we're going to cover in the next segment, because legally I find this to be fascinating topic, and that is a trial is started this week, and the trial involves who is responsible criminally, not civilly, not like you hire a lawyer and file a lawsuit, but who is responsible criminally if someone who is in a Tesla car kills, and the car is on autopilot, runs a red light, kills another person? Is there someone criminally responsible for that? And that's an actual case that's going on right now. And I'm going to break down some of those legal issues in the next segment, and maybe even into the next hour if I can't get through it in the next segment. But to me, that's a fascinating topic, because you cannot hold, or can you, a piece of machinery criminally responsible? I mean, what do? You put a Tesla Roadster in prison? I mean, you can't do that. So it's different from a civil case, because you can always sue somebody and get monetary damages. But this is a criminal case. And to me, can you hold someone criminally responsible for manslaughter when they were allowing the car to drive, when the car says it's got an autopilot? And to me, that's something that we have not grappled with as our technology has improved. Lots more texts coming in. One, the economy, immigration, and shall I say, dumb Democrats to motivate you to get out to vote red. That's true. Also, someone texted in, Biden is an old fool. Well, it's interesting that you say that, because The Hill magazine, which is not Fox News, it's not the One America Network, it's a mainstream online publication, The Hill. They ran an article just today. Is it time to start seriously discussing invoking the 25th Amendment when we're talking about President Biden? And this is not throwing shade. It's not a hot take. That's a legitimate discussion that's being raised by a major media publication, given some of the foibles that we're seeing in our current president. And of course, he's saying he's going to run for office again in 2 years. I'm telling you right now, I will bet you chicken wings at Cyberg's that there is no way that President Biden runs for re-election in 2024. No way that it happens. And we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I also have a bet of chicken wings with a good friend of mine, a liberal friend of mine from law school, about who will be controlling the Senate after the midterm election next week. I bet chicken wings. And, you know, listen, I'm serious when I'm betting chicken wings. OK, that to me is very serious wager because I do not want to lose that. In fact, I called Cyberg's just today and asked him, do you have any Lafitte Rothschild wine that costs $25,000 a bottle, because when I win my chicken wings bet, I'm going to get the most expensive thing they have on the menu, but they don't cover that. So when we they don't have that in stock, but we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, I do want to talk about this issue of who's responsible. Who is responsible when a Tesla on autopilot kills someone, and can cars be held criminally responsible for someone's death? At your service, KMOX. Hey, do not go away. Well, I don't know if the driver was a sharp-dressed man or not, but he will be when he goes to court. So, talking about the guy who was in the Tesla, who engaged the autopilot, the Tesla ran a red light, crashed into another car, killed someone. Now that person is on trial for manslaughter. Is it okay to hold a driver responsible for manslaughter when that person really wasn't driving the car? We got lots of texts on this. We also have Jerry who's called in. Hey, Jerry, welcome to KMOX.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks.
Being in the car industry, I could tell you that no matter what, the owner and the insurance holder of that vehicle, actually the owner of that vehicle, is responsible for its safe operation, and that is it. If you're sort of like if you your cruise control got stuck and you plowed it in the back of his body,
right?
Or your brakes failed, or your whatever, you're responsible for the correct operation, the safe operation of that vehicle. And if you hit kill somebody, no matter if you have it on autopilot or not, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you this, Jerry, before we dive into this conversation, I'm not exactly sure on which side of this issue that I fall onto, but I do have some questions for you. And it doesn't necessarily mean I'm arguing my point of view. I just want to ask you some questions because the cruise control is a different item. When the cruise control is on, obviously your speed is modulated, or rather it's fixed at a certain speed, but you're still in control of the car. The whole idea of a Tesla autopilot is to say this car operates on its own. So if the car is, if you bought the car on the premise that it will drive itself, should the driver then be held criminally responsible when the car fails to do what it was advertised that it did?
It doesn't matter. What matters is that you, the driver, the person sitting in the driver's seat, is responsible for the safe operation of that vehicle. If one of its features fails, it's still your responsibility. Just like if anything else failed as a feature on that vehicle that caused an accident, which a number of things could, especially with today's technology, lane keep assist and automatic braking and pedestrian stopping and all these safety things that are in cars. You are still responsible for making sure that car drives and rides in a safe manner in public and on the public streets. Hmm. If it does not, you're liable. That's why you have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the state law reads now.
It does. But this, of course, is state law that was drafted. It could have been drafted when people were driving horseless carriages. Yeah, you know, it's certainly not a state law that was drafted with the idea that automobiles possess a certain degree of artificial intelligence, and you buy that car on the promise that the car drives itself. And but don't you, I know you're very steadfast on your position, Jerry, and I applaud you for that. But do you see this as a new area of a problem because of the whole autopilot feature as opposed to cruise control or high-tech braking?
No, I don't. I think that the way this case will come out is
uh-oh, I think we lost Jerry. Rats.
That's the way the law reads now. Could that driver or owner of that car have recourse to Tesla? Boy, if you read that Tesla manual real closely, mm-hmm. It says you must still pay attention. Okay?
Right.
If you need to take over, you should. In other words, if you can probably Google a Tesla manual right now and go to the auto drive section, and it'll disclaim it all over the place as to its reliability. It's, you know, can you fall asleep and be, you know, no. It says you're supposed to pay attention. Okay.
Yep. And those are certainly elements, Jerry. Those are certainly elements that are incredibly important in a civil case. I just don't know if someone can be held criminally responsible when their car doesn't operate properly. Hey, I've got other callers, Jerry, I want to go to. Thanks so much for calling in this evening.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Great Bye-bye. To talk to you. I want to go to Jim, who's been holding. Hey, Jim, welcome to Camo X.
Brad, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, sure.
I think what Jerry's... I don't know. On one hand, I want to say what Jerry's saying sounds right. The thing is, one thing I know about law is that when you get in court, it's kind of hard to tell exactly where things are going to go. But it sounds to me like even if the driver was held civilly and criminally liable for the, you know, for the results of that collision, then it would be up to that owner. If the owner was held civilly and criminally liable for the results of a collision, then it would be up to the owner to turn around and hold the manufacturer liable for their
product defect.
Of a manufacturer defective
right.
product.
Right, and we're talking about that, and that makes perfect sense to me, Jim, in the context of a civil case. But in the context of a criminal case, it's a completely different analysis set here, because now you're talking about going to prison or not, and that goes outside of the realm of civil damages when we're talking about your freedom is being restricted.
Mm-hmm. It's possible that the way I understand things, even in a civil case. It's possible that the judge, I mean, I don't know, but they get weird sometimes. What I know about it, I could see a judge allowing the owner of the vehicle to enjoin. Does that sound right? Enjoin the owner, as a function of the fact that the owner misrepresented the, mm-hmm. the features of the product. I don't know. But,
right. You could certainly in a civil case, but that's just not something that's doable in a criminal case. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for calling in. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you sharing your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's why this criminal case is different because in a civil case, you could sue Tesla. You could sue the manufacturer of some of the electronics that were made by a different vendor. You could bring all that in a civil case. But in a criminal case, really what you're talking about is negligence. And usually in negligence situations, the law doesn't put you in prison. The law says you can be sued and held responsible for damages for your negligence. But legally, very few people are ever put in prison for negligence. But that's really what's on trial here, is whether someone can go to prison for a very long time because they were negligent. Hey, great issues. Thanks for participating. We've got another hour of At Your Service here on Camo X. Phone lines are open for the entire hour. Call in. Looking forward to talking to you. Way. I don't know if the driver was a sharp-dressed man or not, but he will be when he goes to court. So, talking about the guy who was in the Tesla, who engaged the autopilot, the Tesla ran a red light, crashed into another car, killed someone. Now that person is on trial for manslaughter. Is it okay to hold a driver responsible for manslaughter when that person really wasn't driving the car? We got lots of texts on this. We also have Jerry who's called in. Hey, Jerry, welcome to KMOX.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks.
Being in the car industry, I could tell you that no matter what, the owner and insurance holder of that vehicle, actually the owner of that vehicle, is responsible for its safe operation. And that is it. If you're sort of like if you your cruise control got stuck and you plowed it in the back of the body,
right?
Or your brakes failed, or your whatever, you're responsible for the correct operation, the safe operation of that vehicle. And if you hit kill somebody, no matter if you have it on autopilot or not, you're responsible.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you this, Jerry, before we dive into this conversation, I'm not exactly sure on which side of this issue that I fall onto, but I do have some questions for you. And it doesn't necessarily mean I'm arguing my point of view. I just want to ask you some questions because the cruise control is a different item. When the cruise control is on, obviously your speed is modulated, or rather it's fixed at a certain speed, but you're still in control of the car. The whole idea of a Tesla autopilot is to say this car operates on its own. So if the car is, if you bought the car on the premise that it will drive itself, should the driver then be held criminally responsible when the car fails to do what it was advertised that it did?
Honestly, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you, the driver, the person sitting in the driver's seat, is responsible for the safe operation of that vehicle. If one of its features fails, it's still your responsibility. Just like if anything else failed as a feature on that vehicle that caused an accident, which a number of things could, especially with today's technology, lane keep assist and automatic braking and pedestrian stopping and all these safety things that are in cars, you are still responsible for making sure that car drives and rides in a safe manner in public and on the public streets. Hmm. If it does not, you are liable. That's why you have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the state law reads now.
It does, but this, of course, is state law that was drafted. It could have been drafted when people were driving horseless carriages. Yeah, it's certainly not a state law that was drafted with the idea that automobiles possess a certain degree of artificial intelligence, and you buy that car on the promise that the car drives itself. I know you're very steadfast on your position, Jerry, and I applaud you for that. But do you see this as a new area of a problem because of the whole autopilot feature as opposed to cruise control or high-tech braking?
No, I don't. I think that the way this case will come out is
uh-oh, I think we lost Jerry. Rats.
That's the way the law reads now. Could that driver or owner of that car have recourse to Tesla? Boy, if you read that Tesla manual real closely, it says you must still pay attention. Okay?
Right.
If you need to take over, you should. In other words, if you could probably Google a Tesla manual right now and go to the auto drive section, and it'll disclaim it all over the place as to its reliability. It's, can you fall asleep and be, it says you're supposed to pay attention. Okay.
Yep. And those are certain, and those are certainly elements, Jerry. Those are certainly elements that are incredibly important in a civil case. I just don't know if someone can be held criminally responsible when their car doesn't operate properly. Hey, I've got other callers, Jerry, I want to go to. Thanks so much for calling in this evening.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Great Bye-bye. To talk to you. I want to go to Jim, who's been holding. Hey, Jim, welcome to KMOX.
Brad, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, sure.
I think what Jerry's... I don't know. On one hand, I want to say what Jerry's saying sounds right. The thing is, one thing I know about law is that when you get in court, it's kind of hard to tell exactly where things are going to go. But it sounds to me like even if the driver was held civilly and criminally liable for the, you know, for the results of that collision, then it would be up to that owner. If the owner was held civilly and criminally liable for the results of the collision, then it would be up to the owner to turn around and hold the manufacturer liable for their
product defect.
Of a manufacturer defective product.
Right, and we're talking about that, and that makes perfect sense to me, Jim, in the context of a civil case. But in the context of a criminal case, it's a completely different analysis set here, because now you're talking about going to prison or not, and that goes outside of the realm of civil damages when we're talking about your freedom is being restricted.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, I mean, it's possible that even the way I understand things, even in a civil case. It's possible that the judge, I mean, I don't know, but they get weird sometimes. What I know about it, I could see a judge allowing the owner of the vehicle to enjoin. Does that sound right? Enjoin the owner, as a function of the fact that the owner misrepresented the, the features of the product. I don't know.
But, right. You could certainly in a civil case, but that's just not something that's doable in a criminal case. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for calling in. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you sharing your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's why this criminal case is different because in a civil case, you could sue Tesla. You could sue the manufacturer of some of the electronics that were made by a different vendor. You could bring all that in a civil case. But in a criminal case, really what you're talking about is negligence. And usually in negligence situations, the law doesn't put you in prison. The law says you can be sued and held responsible for damages for your negligence. But legally, very few people are ever put in prison for negligence. But that's really what's on trial here, is whether someone can go to prison for a very long time because they were negligent. Hey, great issues. Thanks for participating. We've got another hour of At Your Service here on KMOX. Phone lines are open for the entire hour. Call in. Looking forward to talking to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.